We're continuing our studies in Romans chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 6 and focus on 6 this morning about God rendering to every man according to his deeds. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. This passage of Scripture in context is dealing with saved people and not lost. The therefore of Romans 2:1 is a conjunction tying us back into chapter 1. And the old man in this chapter is a reference to those that are holding down the truth and that are unmerciful to those that are under them. And what Paul is saying is these that hold down the truth can expect a righteous judgment from God when they are not judging righteously themselves, because they allow certain sin and unjust behavior to continue in their presence. But we have dealt with that in the past, so we will look at verse 6 to consider the fact that God is going to reward us for our deeds, our works. It says, who will render. The word render there can be translated reward or recompense. It has to do with pay. These are incentives. To do what? To behave ourselves and to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. He's going to reward every man according to his deeds. He's going to reward us according to our evil deeds, and he's going to reward us according to our good deeds. And there is some people think that we will never have to give an account for our evil deeds because we are just as holy in God's eyes as Jesus Christ is. And we will never have to give an answer for any sin, past, present, or future, if we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That is the lie. That is a lie. Because we will have to give an answer for the things that we have done in our body, whether they be good or evil. To me, when I think about rewards for service as a motivation, there are some people that come back and say, oh, I don't serve God for rewards. And when you say that, you know what you're doing? You're putting God down. Because God has offered rewards for service. And let me tell you this. Just loving God is not strong enough to keep you faithfully serving God. If it was, then 1 Corinthians chapter 5:14 would be all that we would need. You wouldn't have to have rewards or anything else. For here it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ, this is not constrain in holding us. This is constrain to compel us for service. The context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is has to do with serving the Lord, which we will look at in just a few minutes. But the love of Christ and the love of God is not sufficient to keep us faithful in serving the Lord. Because God knew that, and that's the reason why God has given two other incentives. One is reward for good works, and rewards for wicked and evil works. They both deserve a reward. You live in sin as a child of God, you're going to be rewarded for that. You may not call it a reward, but it's what it is. It's pay. You will be rendered. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, it says, "We serve the Lord for reward. For whatsoever we do, present active," and it's subjunctive, meaning we may not do it. We may or may not do this, okay? "Do it heartily as to the Lord." This is also in the present tense, and it's the middle voice, and that is significant. Who are we doing this for? Well, we think about we're doing this for God. And in essence, yes, we are. But you know what the middle voice is teaching us? We're doing it for ourselves. That's how you translate the middle voice. I'm serving God for myself. Not that I'm not serving God to glorify Him, but when we continue reading this verse, we find out why I'm serving the Lord for myself. "As to the Lord and not unto men, knowing..." Perfect active. I mean, that means that I've been knowing this and I'm continuing to know it today. "That of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Future. So I know that whatever I do as unto the Lord, I'm going to be rewarded for it. And you know what? That's for me. And it's a reward. It's payment. It's a recompense. And it is an inheritance. "For ye serve the Lord Christ." It has to do with service. "But he that doeth wrong..." That's a present active participle. That's practicing wrong. Doing, actually, unjustly. "Shall receive a reward for the wrong." Now, the word reward is not in the Greek text. But what you're going to get, what you're talking about is rewards here. And you're going to be rewarded for the wrong which you've done. And there is no respecter of persons. When David did what he did, he was rewarded for that. And God said that the sword would never depart out of the house of David. It didn't. And because of that, he had bloody hands. And God said, "You can't build the temple because you're a bloody man." I'm reminded of what Moses' wife told him, "You bloody man, you." But that's not the same thing. But anyway, there is no respecter of persons, a king or a man on the street. In Matthew chapter 16, we have a passage that deals with rewards. We don't see that until we get down to verse 27. And I'm going to read verse 27 so that you can see what I'm driving at in the light of these verses. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels," that is, to start the kingdom. When He comes with His angels, He's going to start the kingdom. "And then He shall render or pay every man according to his works." And He's talking about disciples. This is not the judgment of the lost and the saved. He's going to reward His disciples in His kingdom with honor and glory. And He's also going to reward His disciples that don't obey Him with dishonor. Okay? Now, How do we come to that conclusion? Well, in verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So he set the scenario of if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to imitate me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up the cross to die on. And you can't do that. You can't follow me until those things happen in your life. "For whosoever will save his life," or his soul, saving my soul is not to deny myself. That's exactly what that's saying. If I am saving my life, I am doing my own thing. I'm singing Elvis Presley's song, "I Did It My Way." That doesn't pay. You will be sorry that you did. You're going to perish. You're going to lose a life you will want. And it has to do with rewards. That's what we got through reading. When He's coming, He's going to reward you if you don't perish now. What is He going to reward you with? He's going to reward you with things you don't like. I don't have to name specific things because I don't know where all of them are. But I know that all the places that He talks about where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth are places I don't want to go. I don't want to be beaten with many stripes. I don't want to go to jail because I know there isn't any passing of go where you can get an extra couple of hundred, you know. It's kind of corny Monopoly joke, but the point is this: you're not going to like it if you're going to live for yourself today. You're not going to like what God's going to reward you with in His coming kingdom. That's in essence here. "For whosoever will save his life or his soul shall perish it," or it will be lost. And that, when will that take place? It will take place when the Son comes in His glory. "And whosoever will lose his life," and that has to do with this present age. That has to do with now. What does it mean to lose your life? It means to cry, "Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done." To lose my life is to give Him priority. I was reading in a magazine yesterday, and this lady was talking about doing the will of the Lord and not doing the will of the Lord. And a lot of people want to say no, Lord, when it comes to doing what He would have you to do. But did you know that you can't say no, Lord? It's either no or He's Lord. When you say no, Lord, to His will, that's a contradiction. When you say no, He's not Lord. So all you can say, if you don't want to do what He wants you to do, is no. Because He's not. You can't say, "No, Lord, I ain't going to do that." You can't do that. Anyway. So, whosoever will perish his life today, that is, lose it today. What does it mean to lose your life? You may lose your reputation. It may cost you your job. It may cost you your family. You could do that. If you're not willing to leave your wife and kids and all that for the coming kingdom's sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom, basically speaking. You don't have to lose your family, okay? And it's better not to if you don't have to. But the point is this: we need to die to self, and we need to be able to cry, "Abba, Father," like Jesus Christ did in the garden. And it says that if you will do that in this age, for my sake, you're going to have it in the kingdom age. You're going to enjoy the reward that I'm going to give you when He comes with the glory of His angels in His coming kingdom. "For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The word "lose" there is translated in other places, a castaway. Receive damage. Suffer loss. What does a man, if you gain the whole world, that's gaining, that's living your own life and having everything that the world has to offer. And what can you give in exchange for your soul? You can't. The only thing that you can give to ensure life for the coming age is to put your soul to death. And that's not committing physical suicide, that's committing willful suicide. I guess that's one way to put it. That means that you're going to put yourself to death. And the Lord says, I'm coming with my reward. That's what He says in verse 27. That's why I wanted to read it to begin with. I'm coming with my reward. And we always think about the good stuff. Right? Reward. Wow. Well, there's also the bad that goes with it. And there is no respect of persons. Okay? Now, we need to serve Him willingly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Now I know that not everyone in here is preachers. But woe unto you if you're not going to do the will of God for your life. You need to be compelled to do His will from within. You know, we can be handcuffed and led about, and that doesn't please God. God wants us to respond to Him like Paul. Woe is me if I don't. I will be distressed if I'm not doing God's will. We need to have that kind of attitude too. For it says in verse 17, "For if I do this willingly," what? "I have a reward. But if against my will, what is my reward then?" I think the woe is me can also be applied to that. Woe is me if I don't do it willingly. So God wants us to do His will willingly, and He will reward us for doing it willingly. We need to be faithful in doing His will and serving Him. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, he says, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And it's interesting here, the word fight is agony. The Greek word agony. I have agonized a great agony. It's a struggle in the warfare. There's agony. There's stress at times. There is a finishing of the course. And it's easy that when you get started, when you first get saved, you're fresh. And that's the reason why we were singing this morning, when you're young, serve the Lord. That's what we were singing this morning in the service. And give your best to the Master when you're young. But anyway, when we finish the course, we're talking about the end of the race. Is the hardest part. That's when your lungs ache and your muscles ache and you're fatigued and you can faint. And so Paul, he didn't. He kept the faith. Keeping the faith means that he kept what he was looking at real. Keeping the faith is seeing the crown and seeing the glory as a reality, because that's what faith does. It gives substance to things that we're looking for. And he kept the faith alive. He did not make shipwreck. He did not depart from the faith. And so therefore, what does it say in verse 8? "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give." That word "give" can be translated "render," "reward," and "recompense me at that day. And not to me only, but all them that fight, that finish, and that keep the faith also, that love His appearing. You anticipate the Lord's return, it's going to affect the way you live. And so we need to be faithful in our service, and we can expect a reward. There was a man who asked the Lord one time, a man that had plenty of money, in Luke 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit life for the coming kingdom?" He wanted to know how to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." He says, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And the man said to Jesus, "All these have I kept from my youth up." This man was a just man. He was just. And then Jesus said, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that you have, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Having treasure in heaven has to do with our inheritance, and it has to do with rewards. "And come follow me," present tense, "serve me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the inheritance, age-lasting life, in the coming kingdom." Here was a man who was just, but he wasn't willing to serve the Lord by faith. Serving the Lord by faith is following the Lord, and if you will, you'll have riches. You'll have treasures in heaven. Now, we also have the fear of the Lord as a motivating factor as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. "Wherefore we labor." That's middle, that's present middle. And the middle voice means what? For myself. We're laboring for ourselves. For the Lord. Okay, that's the thing that you need to keep in mind. But the middle voice means for myself. "That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." The word accepted can also be translated well-pleasing. We need to be laboring for the Lord that we might be found well-pleasing to him. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." The incentive to be pleasing to him is to know that we're going to have to give an account of how well we did that, or whether we did it at all. So Paul says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done." This has to do with works. Whether it be good, that is, well-pleasing deeds, or bad, that's evil, wicked deeds that are not pleasing to him. Paul then picks up in verse 11, "knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." It would be better translated, "the fear of the Lord." Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord and his judgment is a motivating factor. Not only rewards, but the fear of God should be a motivating factor to serve him. He is going to judge us. And we're going to receive for the things that we've done. And so Paul says, goes on, "we persuade men." Persuade men to do what? To get saved? Well, a lot of people think that that's what Paul is trying to do. He is persuading men to be eager to please the Lord. I forgot to bring out that point. The word labor up in verse 11 also carries the thought to be eager or earnest in pleasing him. We need to be eager to please him. We need to be earnest in pleasing him. And Paul is going to persuade believers to be eager to please him. That's what he's knowing the fear of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord. He was going to persuade them to be eager to please Him, but moreover, also, we are manifest unto God. In other words, it's really interesting why this is in here, but it's in here simply the fact that God sees what you're doing. You're not going to get away with anything you're doing. He says, but we are made manifest unto God. God knows what we're doing. Now, we need to appreciate the fact that our works will be tested by the fire. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, it says, if any man build on this foundation, that is of the apostles, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. In other words, we're going to be putting all kinds of material on this foundation that the apostles have laid. And we're going to have some wood, and we're going to have some hay, and we're going to have some stubble. But we want to have more gold and silver and precious stones, okay? Those are the ones that are going to last when they're tested by fire. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That's what we've been talking about. He's going to reward every man according to his deeds. And you need to believe that with all your heart. And if you serve the Lord because of peer pressure, you're producing wood, hay, and stubble. I'm not here to make you feel bad because you're not serving God. I want you to be motivated and stirred of heart because of the Scriptures and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I make you feel bad by telling you some tear-jerking story, and I've heard plenty of them over the years from preachers, if I can get you to change by making you cry over a situation myself, that's wood, hay, and stubble for me. If the Holy Spirit will move in your heart and life to change you, then that's gold and silver and precious stone. It's God that's getting the honor and glory for that. So if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Be a castaway. You find that in Luke 9:25. He will receive damage. Just like the man trying to give something in exchange for his soul, he's going to receive damage, ruin, wreck. But he himself shall be saved. Salvation is secure. Rewards are not. In Revelation 2:11, it tells us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? That's the lake of fire. That's going to try our works. And if your works of wood, hay, and stubble are burned up in the lake of fire, you're going to suffer hurt. You're not going to like it when you see your life that you thought was important go up in smoke. And so therefore we need to be overcomers. We need to be faithful to the Lord in living by faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see evil service is also rewarded. When Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, the Lord reward him. He did evil, the Lord reward him. Render, reward, recompense him according to what? His works. That can happen to us as well. I'm sure Alexander the coppersmith was doing well at one time with Paul, enjoying his ministry. Something happened. So, reward for ministry. Matthew 6:1 tells us, take heed that ye do not your alms, your ministry, your work, your labor before men. One thing about what you do, men may see it. It's not that men can't see what you do, Okay? That's not the issue. But don't let it be your motivating factor so that you can put your thumbs under your vest. When you do alms, now that has, a lot of people think of alms as throwing money in the plate. I think it's more than just putting money in the plate. Alms has to do with giving to others. Ministry. When they went into the temple, they were asking for alms. It was a ministry to the poor. And so it has to do with our ministry to others. If we do it to be seen of men, seen of them or of man, you have no reward. In fact, that's the reward. In other words, you get your reward now, not later. I want my reward later. It's better. So don't do your ministries to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have your reward. You have no reward of your Father in heaven. Matthew 6:4 says, "Thine alms may be in secret or private, that thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee." And the word openly is really not in the text. He'll reward you, but he's not going to crash any cymbals. It'll be millennium, not now. Okay? Now, there are some rewards that you can't lose, and I want to share these with you. There are some rewards that you can't lose, and we find them in Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." This has to do with being just. "And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones." Who are these little ones? These little ones are the ones that are seeking to enter the kingdom. Ministering to those who know kingdom truth carries with it an unrevocable reward. Let's just continue. "Whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." You know why that's so? People who are seeking to enter the kingdom are outcast. And when you start ministering to people who are outcast, then you too become an outcast by association. You suffer the same trouble that they suffer. And Paul says that if we suffer with Christ, we will be glorified with Him. And so therefore, if you minister to those who are seeking to enter the kingdom, you're going to be identified with them, and you're going to suffer because of it, and you will not lose your reward. Now another thing too about rewards is this. When we think about the parable of the pound and the parable of the talent, some gain 5 pounds, some gain 10 pounds, some gain 5 talents, so forth. Did you know that you're going to have more than that when it comes time, when it comes to the judgment? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. You got 10 talents? You're going to have more than 10. He's going to be collecting these talents over here, and these talents have to do with money. He's going to be collecting these talents from all these unfaithful, wicked servants of his, and he's going to be giving them to those that have been faithful, and you're going to have more than you deserve. Your reward's going to be larger than you thought it was going to be, because he's going to take it away from people and give it to you. None of this is going to go to waste. The Lord's not going to let any talent go to waste. He's not going to let any pound go to waste. "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance." But that has to do with rewards. "But unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." This has to do with loss of rewards. Suffering loss. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The place outer darkness is meaningless to me. I don't know where it is. You know what means meaningful to me? I sure don't want to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That I can grasp. I can understand that. Luke chapter 9, verse 24 has to do with the pounds. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it unto him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. Hey, come on now. What are you doing giving him 10? I mean, an extra one. And the Lord says, for I say unto you, to everyone that which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. The Lord's given us responsibility. He's given us something of value. And you know what? We're going to lose it if we don't exercise using that talent, or, you know, trafficking in that talent. Now, I'm going to close with this. In 2 John 1:8, it says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You know what that means? You can gain rewards and then lose them. You can spend them here on the earth in riotous living. And you know what? Your association with other people can cause you to lose your crown. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man deceive you, so you would lose your crown. May God help us to appreciate the fact that the Lord's coming, and He's going to reward every man according to his deed, and He's going to do it the right way, and you're going to have more than you deserve when it's all said and done. Because He's going to collect all these talents and pounds from all these from all this dead wood, and He's going to give it to His faithful servants so we can have an abundance. May the Lord help us to appreciate the value of serving Him faithfully. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. May we be encouraged to love You and serve You because we love You, knowing that the love of Christ compels us. But Lord, help us not to forget rewards and judgments that would come if we relax in being eager to please You. So Lord, we just commit these thoughts into Your hands. May it glorify You, and may it provide us with great profit as we anticipate standing before You in judgment. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.